Well, what the hell happened? I go away for 3 months, and all hell breaks loose. The world goes crazy. Welcome to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. For the rest of the week, we're glad you're with us. We are broadcasting live from Los Angeles. Yes, 3 months ago, I was down there in Dallas. Everything was fine. I was sitting in for Malloy. Democrats had passed, what did they pass? The Senate. Democrats had passed health care. Everybody was talking about, oh, there's going to be public option. Everything's going to work out just fine. And now it's crazy town. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Crazy Town. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, raking muck all night long here for the next 3 hours. Hope you'll join us. Stay with us. Got a big show ahead for you. And by the way, I should add, you can stop by the chat room over at BradBlog.com. That's right. See, we're a little shorthanded here, but we're going to get caught up here, right? It's, you know, it's always like that on the first day. So we got a chat room going on at bradblog.com. You can tweet me. You can tweet your questions, at least until our call screener shows up. You can tweet me at TheBradBlog. I'll try to keep an eye on you there. And let's see, what else do I have to tell you business-wise? Well, I think that's almost it. And like I say, I am manning the chat room by myself here for the moment, even while we do the radio. So bear with me if I'm behind in there, but I'm going to get caught up and we're going to get some help here shortly. But that's what you get from Progressive Radio. You're lucky to have it, people. You're lucky to have it. And that's what we're going to be talking about quite a bit tonight. We're also going to be talking about pimps, phony pimps. Yes, we're going to be calling folks out here tonight. And no, not just the lying liars that are James O'Keefe, the phony pimp who should be in jail, and his fake prostitute, Hannah Giles, who should be in jail. Because guess what? As the Attorney General of California, Jerry Brown, found, both of them most likely broke the law here in California when they secretly taped acorn workers, these low-level acorn workers, with their secret cameras. Never mind how they edited those videos, or severely edited those videos, as Attorney General Jerry Brown out here in California said last week. Or as the Brooklyn DA said a couple of weeks ago, that it was a highly edited splice job. Yeah, it was. And we know they're bad guys. And we know Andrew Breitbart, the I got to remember what kind of language I can use here. The nice fellow who runs this biggovernment.com used these fake videos to launch his website. And they were fake. And what he did was journalistic malpractice by publishing these videos, these phony videos. And you know what? You may not know they were phony. Why? Because nobody was reporting it. I have been jumping up and down, yelling and screaming, my hair on fire, trying to get the New York Times, the paper of record, to correct the record for months now. They finally sort of kind of did. I'm going to give you a lot of the backstory on that, tell you what really happened, what went on behind the scenes. Folks who watched Rachel Maddow last night may know now that they were fake, because she finally played some of the videos, the unedited videos, which were finally released because O'Keefe and Giles wanted to stay out of jail. And Jerry Brown, the attorney general out here in California, gave them immunity from criminal prosecution if they would turn over the unedited videotapes, the ones they wouldn't release for some odd reason for the past 6 months since they put out this hit. And it was a hit on Acorn. Unfortunately, it worked. Or did it? We are going to be finding out later on in the show from Bertha Lewis, the CEO of Acorn, the chief organizer. She is going to be joining us. Yes, we're going to do what the New York Times didn't do and find out what the truth is. Well, there's an idea, isn't it? Find out what the truth is. Okay. Well, we're going to go straight to the source. That would be Bertha Lewis in our next hour. I'm going to talk to you about what really happened at the New York Times. I'm going to tell you what this means. And no, it's not, by the way, it's not about Acorn. It's never been about Acorn. It's been about the media. It's been about democracy. And that whole attack on Acorn by the right wing that folks need to pay attention to, and yes, I'm talking about you, you Democrats, you liberals, you progressives, you folks in the progressive media, this is the stuff you need to be paying attention to. Not crazy land out there, not Michelle Bachmann, not Glenn Beck, not Rush Limbaugh, not the loons. Yeah, we know they're loons, and somebody's got to, you know, correct the record when they, you know, go out there and they lie and they do their nonsense. But what we got to focus on is the truth. What we got to focus on is the things that are really killing us, like those folks who have an assault out, a hit out on democracy, on our Constitution, because that's what the Acorn scam was. And yes, it was a scam. And now we all know that. Well, now I know that, but I don't know who else knows it, because the media still isn't reporting what's going on. The New York Times did correct a little bit of the record, finally, after 2 months, but that's about it. They've still got all kinds of phony information out there. Papers are still misreporting this story. Want to get to, and I'll give you the phone number in a little bit, because I want to take your calls tonight. Remember, these are your public airwaves. Use them or lose them, and you may just do exactly that. You may just lose them. But let me give you a couple of quick stories just to set up how insane this world has now become. Both of these come from our friends over at Media Matters. The first one comes from Eric Bullard. This was last week. He writes, I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't read it with my own eyes. Here's the Politico headline. Liberal group march meets pushback. So, says Eric Bullard, pretty simple, right? A group of progressives marched in protest of something and were met by a group of conservatives who pushed back. He says, I guess that's kind of interesting, but honestly, when groups hold political marches, the other side almost always tries to counter the event and is almost always outnumbered. But perhaps in this instance, there was a reason why Politico decided the, quote, pushback was the key. Well, not quite, writes Bullard. Instead, here's the lead from Politico. A handful of liberal groups, but only a few dozen protesters, marched on the Republican National Committee office Thursday to denounce the threats against members of Congress during the health care vote. But in an oddly Washington moment, the gathering of MoveOn.org, Color of Change, and Credo was met by Jordan Marks, a 28-year-old conservative activist who interrupted the event and held up signs accusing the group of race baiting. Okay, that's it. And as Bullard writes, that's right, the pushback came in the form of one guy. One guy showed up and Politico made that guy the news. In fact, guess who the only person quoted in the story was, says Bullard. Yep, that guy. That became news. It's fake news. Moving on, Jameson Fozer. Now here's where it really gets important, because now we're talking about the New York Times, not just the liars and cowards and dopes over at Politico. But here's New York Times, the paper of record. After 2.5 years of prodding, Jameson Fozer notes, New York Times finally corrects 75% of a false Tyson loan claim. This story goes back to 1994, and the New York Times had reported on $9 million in loans that were supposedly approved by the Clintons back when they were in Arkansas. And there's one article after another that were still, until maybe today, that were still on the New York Times website that were completely wrong. Jameson Fozer pointed this out 2.5 years ago, and he's been trying to get them to correct the record. At some point, they actually recently said, we were wrong on that. But they left the story sitting up there. They left it up there wrong for researchers to look at. When I say researchers, of course, I mean Fox News, you know, to go out and get something and then say, even the liberal New York Times says that the Clintons, whatever nonsense they do. It took 2.5 years for Jameson Fozer to get a correction from the New York Times, the paper of record. My God, how long is it going to take me, your little old friendly citizen blogger at the Brad Blog, to get a correction, a proper correction from the New York Times and from all of these other papers? who, well, got the story wrong. And in the bargain, ended up killing a four-decade-old anti-poverty community organization who helped 400,000 member families in at least 75 cities. And remember, they were going after democracy. And this time, they had the New York Times, AP, Dallas Morning News, Baltimore Sun, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. They had all of them to help. How are we going to unwind this journalistic malpractice? You are going to help me. We are going to talk about that over the next hour, two, three, whatever we feel like. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Much more straight ahead, the inside skinny on the Acorn pimp hoax and the liars and those who covered up for them at the New York Times. Straight ahead. Good choice, Tony. Yeah. All right. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Mike all night long, live from Los Angeles, California. We're here all week long. Hope you can join us. Glad you have joined us so far. Stop by our chat room, if you like, over at bradblog.com. We're getting help on the way to let folks in to unmoderate folks and everything else. I'm trying to do everything because we're running behind here, as we tend to do. So forgive us. You can also tweet your thoughts and questions to me at the Brad Blog. Just the Brad Blog. Tweet them over and we'll try to bring them in, and then we will be taking your calls shortly. Write down the number, 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150, not Malloy's normal number. But don't call yet because we're waiting for our screener, too. See? That's what it's like. All right, so here's what happened with the Acorn thing. And we're going to talk about this in the hour ahead. Bertha Lewis from Acorn is going to join us in the next hour. Going to try to give her the tough questions. Hope you will do the same. Back in, September of last year, the New York Times started misreporting this story. They started writing, Scott Shane back in September 15th of last year. He talked about O'Keefe, James O'Keefe, the right-wing liar, visiting Acorn offices dressed so outlandishly that he might have been playing in a risque high school play. Wrong. What else did they write here? They talked about him traveling in the gaudy guise of a pimp. They did this over and over and over and over again. And up in January, after James O'Keefe was arrested down in New Orleans, trying to bug the senator's, Senator Landrieu's, not trying to bug, trying to access her phones. In fact, we don't know what he was trying to do. He might have been trying to bug it. Who knows? At that point, the New York Times ran yet another article, the dozenth or more in their series, and they said Mr. O'Keefe made his biggest national splash last year when he dressed up as a pimp and trained his secret camera on counselors with the liberal community group Acorn. Problem was, he never dressed up as a pimp. And this was January 31, the New York Times was reporting this. Mind you, this was a full two months, after the Massachusetts Attorney General, Scott Harshbarger, released a report and said quite clearly, and I quote, "Although Mr. O'Keefe appeared in all videos dressed as a pimp, in fact, when he appeared at each and every office, he was dressed like a college student in slacks and a button-down shirt." That was December 7th, 2009, that came out 2 months earlier. Mind you, at this point, Acorn had been had legislation against them to defund them in Congress, and it passed. And the Democrats, who have some splaining to do and some apologies to make, passed this legislation. Obama signed this legislation, and it was all built on a hoax. and the New York Times helped them along. It's just absolutely incredible. They never mentioned the Scott Harshbarger report until, about 2 weeks ago, after I began haranguing them for two. Actually, it wasn't me. It was a reader at BradBlog, who took the initiative to contact the Times and demand a correction, and it started off this chain of events. And what the responses from the senior editor for Standards at New York Times, a fellow by the name of Greg Brock, who says he's responsible for corrections at the paper, his responses and the reason that he gave for refusing to correct the record. Until he just had no more choice. He had to correct the record. The reason that he gave, I'll play you that after the break here at the bottom of the hour. You're not going to believe it, unless you've already read the story at BradBlog. And if you have, I'm sorry, but this needs to go out, because even the progressive media has not been telling this story, and it needs to be told. Again, not about Acorn, but about the failure of the New York Times and the rest of the media. And if they are not called on the carpet, if there is no accountability, there will be another phony Acorn pimp hoax, and there will be another Bill Clinton impeachment, and there will be another election 2000 and 2004 where nobody bothers to count the votes. And there will be another hit job on Van Jones, and another hit job on Dan Rather, and all the rest. It's about accountability. We're going to talk about accountability and the New York Times and the lack thereof, and we're going to make this happen one way or another with your help. I'm Brad, in for Malloy. Much more. Stay with us. Well done, white people's, old white people's rock and roll all night long here on the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman, broadcasting live from Los Angeles. Glad to be here. Glad to have you with us. And, of course, my Firefox just crashed. So if you're chatting over there at bradblog.com, say hello to Jeannie Dean for me. I think she's finally moderating, but we'll find out. And I'm told Desi is in the house, and we'll be screening your calls at 877-520-1150. That is the special number tonight, 877-520-1150. You can also tweet me once Firefox reboots. Is yours crashing all the time too, Tony? It's been crashing all the time. All right. You can tweet me at the Brad Blog. Bertha Lewis, the CEO of Acorn, is going to join us in the next hour. They have been, as you probably have heard, put out of business by this phony, fake pimp hoax that was enabled by the paper of record, the New York Times. And AP and all the rest. And they still have not corrected the record, despite the fact that just last week, once again, our fourth official report clearing Acorn of any wrongdoing in any of these video tapes, Attorney General of California said that there were no violations of crimes committed in any of those Acorn offices by those low-level Acorn workers, who were set up by O'Keefe, by Giles, by Andrew Breitbart, all of whom edited these tapes to show something other than what actually happened. No, James O'Keefe never wore his pimp outfit. No, he never told the workers he was a pimp. In fact, he told the workers that he was trying to save Hannah Giles, who did play a prostitute, that he was trying to save her from an abusive pimp who was stalking her and trying to kill her. And he was trying to get her into a house, a safe house. He was trying to save these underage girls from being raped by this fake pimp. The one that they were trying to get him. He was dressed in slacks, a button-down shirt. And, of course, we knew this information. We would have known this information had anybody bothered at the New York Times to look into the matter. You could actually see some few short frames in the video showing him walking in a shirt and slacks. No, not as the 70s era superfly blaxploitation pimp. No, he wasn't Huggy Bear. But gosh, aren't those Acorn people stupid that they couldn't tell that the skinny little 25-year-old white kid wasn't really Huggy Bear? Well, of course they couldn't tell that because he was never dressed that way. Because it was a scam. Now, the New York Times should have known it was a scam. They should have asked more questions, but they didn't. And the day after they first reported that O'Keefe visited Acorn offices dressed so outlandishly he might have been playing in a risque high school play, the day after that, the Democrats, to their eternal shame, voted to defund Acorn from the pittance they receive in federal tax dollars, and I mean pittance, $3.5 million a year on average for the past 15 years. Of course, there's more fraud, actual child prostitution rings allegedly going on by companies like Blackwater, now calling themselves Z. You got two court cases now with high-level employees charging that they were running the prostitution rings out of the green zone in Baghdad. These are in court with apparently evidence, real evidence, not this phony stuff that was made up and reported, misreported over and again by the New York Times. Okay, so I'm, you know, trying to get the word out about this story 2 months ago, at least, that the whole thing was a hoax. And a reader who sends a letter to the Times demands a correction. He hears back from the New York Times senior editor for standards, Greg Brock. He's been there since 1995, and you wonder how this paper is such a disaster. He's been there since 1995, and he writes back to the reader, and he says, well, our article included that description of O'Keefe as a pimp because Mr. O'Keefe himself explained how he was dressed and appeared on a live Fox show wearing what he said was the same exact costume he wore to Acorn offices. He then gave me the link to that Fox appearance. Here it is.
I'm sure you've been seeing some of the videos from biggovernment.com and also that we've been running here on Fox News showing these Acorn employees in first in Baltimore and also in Washington and now in Brooklyn, New York. These videos were put together by filmmaker James O'Keefe, who's joining us on the couch. He's dressed exactly in the same outfit that he wore to these Acorn offices up and down the eastern seaboard. This is what you think a pimp looks like.
I guess it's the stereotypical pimp costume that comes to mind.
Yeah, it comes to mind to you, doesn't it? Because, well, you think black people suck too much out of the government and whatever it is you think, James O'Keefe. Okay, fine. We expect you to be a jackass. We don't expect the New York Times senior editor for standards to say that our article included that description because Mr. O'Keefe himself explained how he was dressed, appeared on a live Fox show wearing what he said was the same exact costume he wore to the Acorn offices. And gave me that link to that clip. Brock went on to say, if there is a correction to be made, it seems it would start with Mr. O'Keefe himself. Mind you, I'm quoting here. Brock goes on to say, we believe him. Therefore, there is nothing for us to correct. We believe him. He said he dressed as a pimp. So we believe him. And we're going to report it in the paper of record. Time and time and time again. And we're going to destroy the four-decade-old anti-poverty community group who does stuff like, oh, help Katrina victims. Help people get their first house. Help people vote, participate in their own democracy, and of course, that is why they were targeted by the GOP. Because they helped hundreds and thousands of legal Americans to legally vote in their own democracy. No, there is not a single instance, not one, not a single instance, zero, nada, not one instance of voter fraud committed vis-a-vis an improper registration by an Acorn worker. Not one. At least no evidence. I haven't seen it. Let's see it. You got some Fox News? You got some wing nuts? James O'Keefe? Andy Breitbart? All you liars out there who want to undermine democracy by telling people that Acorn is committing voter fraud when they haven't? Well, they've been destroyed, so what does it matter now, right? Well, maybe they haven't been destroyed. We're going to be talking to Bertha Lewis in the next hour. Are they really destroyed? We will find out. Maybe we'll make some news. We'll see. Anyway, so the New York Times, they refuse to correct. And the reader shares that information with me, and I jump in and Greg Brock writes back to him after the reader says, well, no, here's what the former Massachusetts Attorney General said. He never dressed that way. And the senior editor for Standards, Greg Brock, writes back, and he says, well, we have, there's tapes here. You can see part of him wearing this pimp costume. And besides, some of the people who work at Acorn described the costume. Oh, really? Did they? And that's when I jumped in, and I said, really, Mr. Brock, did they? Now, all of these emails, you can read the entire trail, because I believe in transparency. All these emails are over at bradblog.com. You can read the exchanges with myself and senior editor for Standards, Greg Brock. And I said, well, can I see that videotape? Can I read that interview where the Acorn employees are saying that they're describing the costume? Well, then he starts making excuses. This is when the cover-up begins. He starts telling me, oh, well, I didn't say that, you know, our reporters, they look at a lot of videos. Not all of them are released. Really? This one's not released? Okay. And then he said, well, those interviews with Acorn employees where they described the costume he was wearing, I didn't say we got those interviews. Oh, really? Who got them, Greg? Where are those interviews? Where is that information? He was covering up. And by the way, he still has a job. He's still there. At that point, I brought in Clark Hoyt, the public editor. He's supposed to be the reader's representative, the ombudsman. And I showed him all of these emails from Greg Brock, and I said, what the hell is going on here? And he says, and remember, one of the reports that the reader had complained about was the one from January where Jim Rutenberg in the New York Times had reported, Mr. O'Keefe made his biggest national splash last year when he dressed up as a pimp and trained a secret camera on counselors with the liberal community group Acorn. Of course, he never did that. That was a lie. But Jim Rutenberg, the New York Times paper of record, they reported it as such. Well, Clark Hoyt came back to me with three reasons why no correction was needed. And that wasn't the only story they got wrong. They got dozens of them wrong. But here's what he referred to that one. And he said, well, he gave me three reasons. The first reason, the story says, O'Keefe, this is a quote from Clark Hoyt, public editor. The story says, O'Keefe dressed up as a pimp and trained his hidden camera on Acorn counselors. It does not say he did those two things at the same time. Okay? Letting that sink in there. That's why he dressed up as a pimp, yes. He trained his hidden camera on Acorn counselors, yes. Both of those things are true. He just didn't do them at the same time, and we never said he did. Yeah, you did. That earned Clark Hoyt a depiction as a weasel in a Tom Tomorrow cartoon. Very happy about that. He went on to point to someone, Ismini Spiliotis, who described to Jim, the reporter Jim Rutenberg, the costume that he was wearing and so on and so forth. So I had never heard of this. Ismini Spiliotis had contacted Acorn, did what, New York Times should have done. And I said, can I talk to Ismini Spiliotis? And they put me in touch with her, and she said, guess what? I wasn't there that day. I never saw these people. Why are they quoting me? The only time, this is a direct quote, the only time I ever saw these folks was from the video. That was the second excuse. The third excuse, that I'm speaking fast, because we're coming up to a break. Third excuse was the idea that you could see him in one of the videos dressed as a pimp. Really? Could you? Where? When? What video? Well, Clark Hoyt told me, if you go to the 612 mark of the D.C. video, you can see O'Keefe walking out of one of the offices. You can see his reflection in a plate glass mirror, in a plate glass window next to the office. And then the camera jostles, and you can maybe, I think, see part of his costume. Really, can you? Well, guess what I did? Downloaded the video, did a screen-by-screen, frame-by-frame screen grab of every single frame where he told me at the 612 mark. And guess what? No, James O'Keefe, you can see his white shirt, but you can see no black hat. No black fedora, black suit, black jacket, walking a stick, sunglasses, and a chinchilla fur cape, which he was wearing, apparently, because I looked it up, on that day in July, last year, July 25, in Washington, D.C., chinchilla fur coat. It was 93 degrees that day, and guess what? When he went into the Acorn office, we see the Acorn office woman introduce him as a Georgetown Law School student. She didn't blink an eye, though it was 93 degrees, and he was wearing a chinchilla fur coat. The entire thing was a lie. And yet, Clark Hoyt says no correction was necessary. Well, that changed a couple weeks ago. He did make a correction, a partial one. We'll talk about that much more straight ahead. Brad in for Malloy, telling the truth for a change. We'll be right back.
In the summer with a teenage diplomat, in the dumps with a there's something happening here.
Yeah, it is.
What it is ain't exactly clear.
No, it's not, but I'm going to help you clarify.
There's
it.
A man with a gun over there.
Uh-oh. Like I don't have enough problems. Welcome back to the Malloy Program. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Finally getting your attention, I hope. We got Rachel Maddow's last night, finally. She ran clips from the unedited Acorn videos, which O'Keefe and Giles and Breitbart finally had to turn over to the California Attorney General to avoid criminal prosecution because, yes, it is illegal to secretly tape these people out here as they did in California. It's also illegal in Maryland. It's also illegal in Pennsylvania. We're going to be talking to Bertha Lewis in the next hour and ask why there has not been more accountability from her group, from Acorn, for those people who did apparently break the law. And why it is, by the way, that Jerry Brown gave immunity from criminal prosecution instead of just subpoenaing the tapes. The ones that these fakers, these phonies, who'd never dressed as a pimp, who never represented himself as a pimp, that they wouldn't turn over. Okay, before I forget, before I run out of time here, please write this down. Here's an email address. This only changes once you change it. You folks over there, truth seekers over at DU, folks in the Brad Blog chat room, folks out there on Twitter, you can get us at the Brad Blog. But here's what you got to write down. executive-editor@nytimes.com. That's executive-editor@nytimes.com and managing-editor@nytimes.com. Send them a note. Ask them to correct the record once and for all. When they reported that he clearly represented himself as a pimp. Now, mind you, they finally made a correction, and I didn't have time to get into that, but they finally made a correction saying, well, he didn't dress as a pimp, but he still posed as a pimp. Nope. No, he didn't. Executive-editor@nytimes.com, managing-editor@nytimes.com. You people, please take this into your hands. Please do something about this. I promise the right-wingers, when they get ticked off, when they are aggrieved, they raise holy hell and they get action when they do. If you guys raise some hell, we'd get some action. Because what this is about is craziness. It's not about reality. It's not about truth. It's about another hoax. Rachel Maddow put it well last week. Here's an extended clip from what she had to say last week about how crazy this has all become.
What we're dealing with here is the unmooring of politics from facts. The activists pushing the Acorn scandal knew it was fake. After all, they faked it. But it made a political impact anyway, so they win, right? The ClimateGate scandal, not an actual challenge to the homogenous consensus of decades of climate science, but it could have a political impact, so go for it. It might work. It's the triumph of fake politics. Outrage or advantage gleaned from stuff that's not real. And who cares if it's not real, if it has a political impact? The anti-Acorn crusade was bull. ClimateGate was bull. Repealing health reform is bull. The lawsuits against health reform are bull. The death panels, bull. The president's secretly foreign and doesn't have a birth certificate? Bull. Fear of the census is bull. Supposed threats to end the Second Amendment? Bull. The claim that thousands of armed IRS agents are going to be stormtroopers to enforce health reform? It's bull. The administration taking away the right to go fishing? It's bull. Scott Brown saying I'm running against him is even bull. It's made up. It's bull. It's bull. It's not real politics. Let them eat fake. These are not real problems to worry about and work on as a country, right? But there's more bang for the political buck to make stuff up like this than to try to debate real problems in the real world. So just go with the bull. Dissent is not the aberration in a democracy. Dissent is the norm. Our political vitality depends on dissent. No one expects that a president is going to have the whole country agree with his actions and his priorities. Nobody expects Americans to share the same political opinions. But has there ever been a time when we shared so few political facts? Let's argue. Let's have the great American debate about the role of government and the best policies for the country. It's fun. It's citizenship. It's activism. It makes the country better when we have those debates. And your country needs you. It needs all of us. But two things disqualify you from this process. You can't threaten to shoot people, and you have to stop making stuff up.
The triumph of fake politics. It ends here. It ends now. I need your help. Bertha Lewis from Acorn joins me after this break. Send us your questions. Twitter them to The Brad Blog. You're listening to Brad on the Molloy Program. Stay with us.